Jai Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Shtatra Shimadehi Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Grantra Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled The Dynasty of Puru. Chapter 20, entitled The Dynasty of Puru, text 27. Traya Trimshat Shatam Hi Ashvan Badhva Yagya Vishma Payan Nripan Daushmantihi Atyagat Mayam Devanam Gurum Ayayau. Dasyach Trimshat Chatam Hyashvan. Dasyat Trimshat Chatam Hyashvan. Bhadva Vishma Vishampayan Ripan. Bhadva Vishma Payan Ripan. Daushmantir Atyagan Mayam. Daushmantir Atyagan Mayam. Devanam Gurum Avyayau. Devanam Guru Avyayau. Tasyach Trimshat Chatam Hyashan. Bhadva Vishampayan Ripan. Daushmantir Atyagan Mayam. Devanam Guru Mavyayau. Tasyach Trimshat Chatam Hyashvan. Bhadva Vishampayan Ripan. Daushmantir Atyagan Mayam. Devanam Gurum Avyayau. Dasyach Trimshat Chatam Hyashvan. Bhadva Vishampayan Ripan. Daushmantir Atyagan Mayam. Devanam Gurum Avyayau. Pan Dushmantiratya Gamayam Devanam Guru Avyayau Tayastin Shachatam Yashvam Mataji. Estismachatam bhyasvam Adavishvam payam ripam Shmantirakyagam mayam Devanam guru avyayo Traya. Three. Trimshat, 30. Shatam, 100. He, indeed. Ashvan, horses. Badtva, arresting in the yagya. Vishma, payan, astonishing. Nripan, all other kings. Daushmanti, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta. Atyagat, surpassed. Mayam, material opulences. Devanam, of the demigods. Gurum, the Supreme Spiritual Master. Ayayau, achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta, bound 3,300 horses for those sacrifices. And thus, he astonished all other kings. He surpassed even the opulence of the demigods, for he achieved the supreme spiritual master, Hari. Purport. One who achieves the lotus feet of the supreme personality of Godhead certainly surpasses all material wealth, even that of the demigods in the heavenly planets. Yam labdva Chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata. The achievement of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most exalted achievement in life. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trayastrismach chatam hyashvan, bhadva visham payan ripan, dushmantir atyagan mayam, devanam gurum avyayau. Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta, bound 3,300 horses for those sacrifices, and thus he astonished all other kings. He surpassed even the opulence of the demigods, for he achieved the supreme spiritual master, Hari. So after hearing the glories of Maharaj Dushmanta, because he was such an exalted, elevated personality, Raja, the king, and by having the wonderful qualities, he also qualified to receive the worthy descendant, the worthy son, namely Maharaj Bharat. For a king, living without a descendant, living without an heir to the kingdom, this is something that is the most devastating, that is something that is the most unacceptable, because we know that every line, every dynasty, it's having certain type of expectation that that dynasty will continue. The conception in earlier ages was that not just because of some kind of prestige or some kind of material consideration that the dynasty has to continue, but we know even in the ordinary sense, the conception used to be very prevalent that the dynasty has to continue of practically anyone, not just of the kings or the rajas, but of every family, because there was requirement of having a son. And why the son was important? Son was important for the reason to deliver his forefathers, to deliver his forefathers from whatever state they might be after their passing away. Whether there might be amongst the Pritis, whether Pitris, whether there might be amongst the whatever, even somehow by some great misfortune in the lower species of life or anywhere else. But the purpose of son was to deliver them from the whatever material condition that they were in. So this is that reason that we see that Mara Chitraketu was also very lamentful. There is no son. And what is the use? Of course, we know that Chanakya Pandit states that even the life of a Grihastha, it's practically void if there is no progeny, if there is no son or daughter or anyone. It's practically void if there are no children. So not just for the reason of certain type of life and exchange and relationships, but for the very reason that, again, the expectation in earlier times was that son would be the one who would perform certain rituals, Shraddha rituals, by which he could deliver his forefathers from whatever conditional state they might be in. So it is a great fortune for a king, therefore, to receive somebody who is going to continue the dynasty. So it's not just to extend and expand the name and glories of that certain dynasty, but also for the reason to purify from the spiritual point of view any conditional state of his forefathers. And that used to be the system. That used to be the system. That a son would perform so many different kinds of pindas, so many different kinds of rituals. And we know that if you would have read, I did read some of the Puranas, there's a lot of emphasis on such kind of rituals which has to be performed. And then it's very interesting that each and every bowl of rice, usually when they make, there are several places famous for such kind of activities, like Gaya. It's very both Gaya and Gaya, especially Gaya in Bihar, and then Nasik here in Maharashtra. some places like these holy places are very much used for such kind of rituals. And different kinds of offerings are given. And they said that each and every offering would kind of last for 1 year, one such kind of as some kind of nourishment to keep such kind of beings at certain place, wherever they might be, to sustain them. And this is something that people have difficulty accepting very much. How is that possible? You're offering something here, and then this is something that sustains somebody else. It is like very difficult. But it's not difficult to understand in terms of, like nowadays, we have a transfer of money. We have a transfer from one bank account to another bank account. We just transfer that money. You can just go online, even you can transfer, you go to the bank or whatever. You can transfer money. So in similar way, you can transfer the punya. You can transfer the pious activities from one person to another. Just recently there was Ekadashi, and it's very interesting that in Padma Purana there is also description of such kind of transfer of some kind of sukriti that one might acquire. So if somebody performs any kind of pious deed or even spiritual, especially like that on Ekadashi day, spiritual kind of activities, he may perform sankalpa. He can give some vow and request Krishna that please, whatever, and if by any chance I have derived any kind of benefit, any kind of sukriti, please, you transfer this, you give this to such and such, whomever person we want to benefit. And it's amazing how it works. It does work. There are several cases when people have absolutely no interest in spiritual life, but if on Ekadashi one performs certain vrata of fasting or chanting more and dedicates this to that particular person, and if it continues for several such kind of Ekadashi, it's incredible how it has an effect on that person, how it affects the consciousness and how makes one more susceptible towards spiritual practice. And therefore such kind of transfer, it is possible. And that's something that can be experienced even right now. It is something that it's in the realm of pratyaksha, direct experience, if one performs such an activity. So in a similar way, if one transfers, of course the whole transfer has to be bona fide. The whole transfer has to be authorized. And this is why performing also such kind of different rituals through which one may receive such kind of benefits or offer such kind of benefits to somebody else, that has to be pretty much authorized. But again, we live at the age where such kind of rituals are very difficult to perform without any tinge of flaws. It's very difficult. Kalir dosha nide rajan. That means this age of Kali is full of faults. It's an ocean of faults, ocean of discrepancies. So then, when any kind of activity is performed, such kind of Vedic yagic activity, then we may be sure that there's definitely some kind of flaw there. And it's not pure. And therefore it won't yield to the extent or to the effect that we might be expecting. So when one performs also such kind of shraddha rituals, if anything goes wrong, actually there might be even contrary effect. That's also something one has to be very careful about. And it's in many ways actually very discouraging, especially when one deals with certain type of unqualified personalities who are performing that sacrifice. And then what kind of utility and benefit will be derived from the sacrifice itself? Very less, very nil, almost nothing. Or in the worst case, even it might effect in a contrary result. So the potency, what is explained in the Shastras mostly, the potency of a different sacrifice depends on the quality and purity of the person performing it. That is the main thing. And nowadays if we see the lives of so-called, let's say, priests or somebody who does perform certain type of rituals, they don't have so much purity. And therefore the potency of whatever activity they perform, it's not going to be great. This is why in the previous verse, We see it has been mentioned that the sacrifice, the yagya for this age, it's not the sacrifice that we have to perform some grandiose, big sacrifices, fire sacrifice, or any other, which are actually forbidden in this age, Ashwamedha Gavalambam, which are forbidden. This is Vishnu Dharmottara Purana stating. It's all kinds of other sacrifice, specifically in relationship, like here we are hearing horses or cows or whatever. That kind of sacrifices are forbidden. Why? Because people are just not qualified. Nobody is qualified to perform such kind of sacrifice. Therefore, this is discouraged. But what is encouraged? Again, kalir dosha nide rajan nasti hieko mahat gunam kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajat. Kirtana deva krishnasya, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. This is something that is encouraged. And this is our yagya. Japosmi Bharatarshaba. Of all the sacrifices Krishna is mentioning in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, what is the yagya? It is japa. This is our sacrifice. And we have to learn how to sacrifice everything. Yagyartat karma nonyatra lokyam karma bandana tad artam karma kontya mukta sanga samhachara. Of course, we have to sacrifice everything. Yat karoshi yadashnas yadjuhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kontya matkurushvata darpanam. Everything, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we give away, whatever austerity we perform, whatever, anything, we should give and offer it to Supreme Personality of God. This is sacrifice. This is sacrifice in the age of Kali. Whatever we do, constant remembrance, constant focus and consciousness on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what is the yagya. This is what is the sacrifice. And that's not easy. I've been just this morning, I've been chanting and I was thinking, how is it that it's taking so much time? Usually I can almost complete all the rounds till the Guru Puja, I mean, the Darshan Arati. But today I have 4 rounds left. As I was wondering, how is it? Somehow it was taking more time than usual. Why? Because the mind was wandering, mind was disturbed, and I was trying to bring it back, try to focus. It was a little bit tough one, little struggle. So that's our yagya, this is our tapasya. Somehow or other remaining focused on chanting of the holy names of the Lord. It's not easy. You know, if one can do that, if he can successfully perform such kind of yagya, this is the real yagya. This is our austerity. How to chant our rounds with full attention, with full focus. That's the austerity. We don't have to go to Himalayas. We don't have to, you know, like perform any kind of other types of sacrifice. It's not easy. Just a few months back during Nrsimha Chaturdashi, we had this one of the longest yagya I was ever sitting on. It took 4 hours or something. It's not easy just to sit down, chant the mantras. You know, even hands started paining by throwing the grains and stuff. It's not easy. It's tapasya. But it's not equivalent, again, nothing. None of this can compare to chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah, so easy and so sublime and so powerful, so effective. Because again, any other yagya that it's performed, as I said, there's inevitably some kind of negative effect, most likely that will happen. Or there might be some impurity, or there might be something that will tinge to some extent certain type of yagya. And then what the result will be, that it's up to be seen. But when one chants the holy names, then even though it might be on the level of Namabhasa or whatever, the potency is still there. Potency is still there. And if one continues to chant the holy name, one will definitely, inevitably in the course of time become purified and have attained and will attain the higher consciousness and attraction towards Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. It inevitably happens. Just remaining steady. This is our challenge in our devotional life, to remain steady in this yagya. This is our challenge. It's not easy. Apichedasi papebya sarvebya papa kritama sarva gyanam plavenaiva virginam santarishyasi. In Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, Krishna is mentioning that just to remain steady on this path, just to remain steady on this boat, even if one is the greatest of all the sinners, one can cross the ocean of material miseries. So just to remain steady, that is our yagya. Just to remain steady in this process. It's not easy. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. There are so many distractions. There are so many storms. There are so many rockings of that boat. So many winds that might divert us from that journey. Ekeha Kuru Nandana, focused journey. So just to have that fixation on the goal, just to be fixed on that path of bhakti and just to remain in that boat which is leading us towards the ultimate goal, that's not easy. That is our challenge. That is our yagya, that is our tapasya. Yeah. Because the boat is going, boat is fixed. It's going to its destination. We have the most wonderful captain. He's expert, he's so experienced. He has all the blessings. Who is that? Śrīla Prabhupāda. Boat is going. What is the boat? It's ISKCON. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's fixed, it's going. It's already reached destination practically. Of course, we are just somewhere behind the boat. We are taking so much time, a little bit, somehow. Everything is there, but just we have to remain steady. We have to survive all of the Kali Yuga onslaughts, of our anarthas. And whatever, and whosoever other anarthas we are dealing, and not allow ourselves to become affected or degraded in any way. So the process is there, purity is there, potency is there. We just have to take advantage. We just have to at least be that much intelligent to understand, what a wonderful blessing in this ocean of faults. Again, kalir dosha nidhe rajam. In this ocean of so many flaws and suffering, that this boat, this is something that is the most wonderful quality, the most wonderful thing. As it has been said to King Yudhishthira, this is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. It's amazing. This is such a wonderful, the most exalted thing that it's available in Kali Yuga, that it's not available in any other age. And I've been thinking just sometimes back, it's like, it's so amazing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can we a little bit contemplate about it? He comes once in a day of Brahma. Once in a day of Brahma, that's so rare. That is so rare. Just imagine Kali Yuga, what is the duration of Kali Yuga? Thousands of years. I mean, okay, we can say 432, it's incredible span of time. It's such a long duration, it's really... Can you imagine how many times one can be reborn in that short period of time compared to the day of Brahma? That's one Kali Yuga. So many thousands of years. And that is in one cycle of the Divya Yuga. And there are, thousand cycles, thousand times that many Kali Yugas. And just once in that cycle, you get, and then such a short period of time, 10,000 years, what is it? You get a chance to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get out of this ocean of misery. Yeah. So how much we are therefore serious to perform this kind of yagya? We're not serious at all. We have no understanding what it means, to receive such a wonderful gift, such a wonderful process. To remain steady, at least just remain steady. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives the example. He says, just like a son who remains faithful to his father inherits automatically all the properties, all the wealth. Just remain faithful, remain steady. If we remain faithful, remain steady in this process of Krishna consciousness, that's it. Automatically one will inherit everything that Srila Prabhupada can give us. And what he can give? He can give us everything. He can give us Krishna. Krishna is everything. What else anyone could want? So just remaining steady. But it's not easy. Why it's not easy? Because we are conditioned. We are distracted. We have so many thoughts about so many other things that we consider they will make us happy in so-called life. We waste our time. But again, I have to emphasize, we have to remind ourselves over and over, hey, it's once in a day of Brahma. And of course, there are so many days of Lord Brahma. What to speak about that? Of course, there are so many Brahmandas. You can even waste your time as much as you want. You can procrastinate, delay, postpone. You can do whatever you want. You can go also from one Brahmanda to another Brahmanda. So many times over. Why? Why should we do that? We should use our common sense, at least if there is any, and I'm sure there is at least an appeal for it, and little intelligence that we have, and just tightly hold upon the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and try to remain within this process as much as possible. Just remaining steady. How many challenges are there even for that? There are plenty. But just remaining steady, you know. And within this short period of time, 10,000 years, this is nothing. This is one day, this is one lifespan of a demigod. If we take chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very casually, if we take it for granted, and we may chant, there is a statement, Srila Prabhupada said, many of my disciples, almost mostly, will end up on the heavenly planets. Because you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you chant, you get benefits, you get punya. You don't really get so much bhakti, but you get punya. It's pious, it's great, it's wonderful. It's sattvic, so to say. But it can be like performing devotional service in any kind of modes. You get that kind of result. If you don't chant purely, if you're not really focused, then pray for the mercy. Yeah. Even if you don't execute devotional service properly. But at least, again, devotional service, you know, the progress depends on the attitude of a follower. How often we heard that statement? So at least that much. So if one chance takes this process very casually and just, okay, yes, we come, take darshan, you know, being pious, being nice, everything is nice, come sometimes to the temple. Yeah, but then you're going to end up on the heavenly planets. Maybe you might get a chance there to elevate yourself, maybe not. It's very distracting. Heavenly planets are not really meant, you know, like for spiritual elevation. This is why this region is the best. Even demigods pray to appear here. So if you're not serious about this yajna that we are performing, we may end up in the heavenly planets. 10,000 years are gone. Once you're back, what happens? You can meet Kalki, if you're fortunate. If you're fortunate. If you're not, then even that won't happen. Kali Yuga. I mean, what's going on? Horrible. Horrible. How degradation is taking place. I just see every decade practically you can compare and you can see how worse things have become. It's becoming so bad. So that's why we have to be fixed on this yajna of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and performing devotional service. And in spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the different, as I said, winds and storms and whatever it happens, remain in the boat. Somehow remain in the boat. Boat is going, it's fixed, it's getting to its destination. So here we also see that Maharaj Bharat, he also, like, even more practically than his father, he was such a qualified personality, empowered by the Supreme Person, and none of the other kin could rival him in performance of any kind of activity. We heard also in previous verses how he had enormous strength, he had incredible qualities, and nobody was matched for him. And definitely such kind of personality is destined practically to guide others, to lead from this ocean of material miseries. And as it has been stated, he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, when one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happens? Krishna will shower all the blessings upon such kind of person. And what does it mean, please? Pleasing, that doesn't mean, you know, I want something personally for myself. No, pleasing means the best it's when one does something for somebody else. Then again, coming back, what is the greatest, most pleasing activity in Srimad Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is saying, one who is giving, preaching this knowledge, this Bhagavad Gita to others, is not just for oneself. Like performing all these, so many horse sacrifices. It's not easy. Like we heard in Mahabharata, you know, you would have horses, you know, with all with one black ear, another white ear, and so on. Of course, that was a tapasya. That was an austerity, to find various kinds of horses or various kinds of animals who would have certain type of lakshana, certain type of quality. It's not just you can sacrifice anything or anyone, you know. It has to be authorized in a certain way that it can be used for a sacrifice, certain type of animal. So that's not easy. So Maharaj Dushmanta here, 3,300 horses, certain type of horses, that's not easy. And most likely, I would say, this type of horses, that means certain jivas embodied certain type of forms which are destined for the higher forms of life. And this is what all these sacrifices were meant for. They were not meant for, you know, some kind of meat feasts or so on. No, because the animal has been sacrificed and then animal immediately achieves better type of existence, better type of body, higher forms, human forms or demigod forms or even spiritual, depending on type of sacrifice. So that was not easy to achieve. So Bharat Maharaj here, being enthroned, succeeding his father, Maharaj Dushmanta, he has to establish his reign. Like we know, Yudhishthir Maharaj performed Rajasuya sacrifice. That's a rare thing. Even Duryodhana couldn't have done it. It's such a requirement to perform such kind of sacrifice. Duryodhana couldn't have done it. He didn't have resources. But Maharaj Yudhishthir did it. So to establish oneself as the emperor of the world, therefore this kind of yagyas have been performed. But again, what? Why? Not for the personal sake, but for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to guide all the praja, all the citizens, again, towards where? Towards Krishna, towards Supreme Person. This was the yagya. So it all pretty much dependent on the leadership, on the ruler of the emperor. Because Aise Raja, Jaise Praja, yeah? That's how it is. And that was pretty much, like all these different sacrifices, that's what everyone was pretty much dependent also. But that's not again case in Kali Yuga, fortunately or unfortunately. Well, fortunately because our leaders are not qualified. Fortunately because of that. So we have a chance, but then we also have our individual responsibility to qualify ourselves, to take to this, again, process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very seriously. Yeah. To practice the process of bhakti yoga very seriously. Yeah. So we are not dependent, or others, we are dependent on ourselves, but we are dependent on the mercy of whom? Guru and Krishna. That's what we should never forget. We are always dependent on them. Because we can't generate bhakti. Bhakti comes from somebody who has the bhakti. We can just beg for it. We can just plead somehow or other, please, by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, and by your mercy, Krishna, if we can gain some taste for this chanting of the holy names and somehow again remain within that boat that leads us to the ultimate destination. So we are not dependent upon environment. We cannot, you know, like claim there are different types of determinism. People say, oh, I am who I am and I am as I am because of genetic determinism or because environment or because of, you know, there are several kind of these conditionings, you know, or because, you know, I've been just appeared in certain type of family and this and that, I'm just bound, conditioned. No, these are all just excuses. They're not reasons. We all have an equal opportunity. Everybody can chant, whoever has ears and mouth and tongue, you know, he can chant and hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone has to take responsibility for their own life. This is what human form is meant ultimately for. We have the facilities, but we have the responsibility. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. In this form, this is our duty. It's our duty to inquire about the Absolute. It's our duty to practice the spiritual life. If we misuse that, then yes, sure, there are so many other forms and species that one can do that. So one does not need, therefore, perform any kind of other sacrifice. One can just simply remain focused on the process that has been given and try to please Srila Prabhupada by sincere surrender, endeavoring the best one can It's not necessary that one has to, you know, just be focused on certain type of quantity, but at least one should remain focused on quality. With the quality, any kind of quantity will manifest. With the purity, everything else, the potency will flow. Yeah. So this is our task, this is our yajna, this is our sacrifice in this age of Kali. Somehow or other, remaining focused in this wonderful process that Srila Prabhupada has given us and advance in the spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Krishna Bhajan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So in your discussion, you mentioned that Prabhupada said that many of my disciples will land up in heavenly planets. So can you please explain wherein Prabhupada said this exactly?
I can give you the quote. I just read it 1 or 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, by imperfect chanting Hare Krishna, one is given second chance for chanting Hare Krishna. How can one get material pleasure by chanting Hare Krishna? That is heavenly planets. Just like Ajamil was given second chance. That's why Prabhupada wrote that book, Second Chance. Yeah. Can you please throw some light on this aspect?
Well, as my understanding would be, it's not necessary. Like, you know, there was a big puzzle. What happens if somebody dies in Vrindavan? But apparently it's not qualified. Does that mean that immediately he goes back home, back to Godhead? So there was some discussion. I remember Shivaram Maharaj, you know, presented one conclusion saying that it's not necessary. They will go back home, back to Godhead, but not immediately after this lifetime. They might spend some lifetimes, you know, working out their whatever deficiencies are there. And then they will go back home, back to Godhead. So in the similar, on the similar line, one will get a chance to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but not necessarily immediately after, you know, he leaves the body or after whatever, having some heavenly experience. The bank account remains, but when again it might be accessible, that might be the question.
So do you mean that when we go back heavenly planets, after that we'll get a chance to go back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna?
I said it might happen. It might happen, but it's knowing the circumstances that one may live within the heavenly planets might be very difficult.
But Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, 49th verse, as well as 16th verse of the same chapter says, even if one chants indirectly, or some jokingly, or something, some or other, he chants, he will be relieved of all sinful activities and he can promote to back to Godhead. What about this?
Same thing. Does it mean immediately?
16th verse says, 2nd chapter of the 6th canto, I'll read it out. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lightest sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light.
Yeah, but we are chanting. We are also chanting.
So?
So how is it not happening to us? That's why also the whole discussion can be brought. You know, one can chant even without Guru. Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, one can chant. Chanting, that's the whole point, to emphasize the potency of the chanting. But we are committing offenses.
But the same chapter explains, Ajamil chanted to address his son. He did not chant to address his Lord. He chanted,
okay.
Yeah. So then he got delivered in the same body. He did not go to heavenly planets. How to understand? It is the 49th verse of the 2nd chapter of the 6th canto. He says,
as far as I remember, that quote, Srila Prabhupada, it's like some devotees just have some mishra, you know, that means mixed desires, mixed tendencies. They're not so focused on, you know. So it's not like, so if you have that, then Krishna will fulfill you that also. Like it is said that actually Prahlad Maharaj was a somewhat greater devotee than a Dhruva Maharaj. Because Dhruva Maharaj, you know, still there was something there left, some desire for material experience, some desire for material opulence. And that, therefore Krishna gave him, you know, the kingdom greater than great father. He was promoted, he was given spiritual everything, but still Krishna additionally gave him something, again in relationship to what he desired earlier. That was not the case with Prahlad Maharaj. So that kind of mixed propensity, that mixed desire, that if it still remains there, that it's something that might be temporarily therefore distracting, that won't lead one towards the ultimate goal.
But again, coming back to Dhruva Maharaj, as you mentioned, he said, Swamin Krita Thosmi Varam Nayachit, I do not have any other desire, my dear Lord, I have achieved you. So how can we say that after he got purified, he had material desires?
Yeah, but Krishna still gave him.
Yeah, but at the same time, he gave Prahlad Maharaj also 71 yugas, one kalpa, that Manvantara as the kingdom of the entire universe. He gave that material enjoyment to Prahlad Maharaj also, na? Without asking, like Dhruva Maharaj.
Yeah, but Dhruva Maharaj still had, there was some tinge was there. That is what is explained. Prahlad Maharaj didn't have any tinge whatsoever.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai.